The reading today is Psalm 27. If you want to read along, there's a tab on the right-hand side where you can read the psalm. Psalm 27 of David. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked advance against me to devour me, it is my enemies and my foes who will stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then I will be confident. One thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. For in the day of trouble, he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his sacred tent and set me high upon a rock. Then my head will be exalted above the enemies who surround me. At his sacred tent, I will sacrifice with shouts of joy. I will sing and make music to the Lord. Hear my voice when I call, Lord. Be merciful to me and answer me. My heart says of you, seek his face. Your face, Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my helper. Do not reject me or forsake me, God my Saviour. Though my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me. Teach me your way, Lord. Lead me in a straight path because of my oppressors. Do not turn me over to the desire of my foes, for false witnesses rise up against me, spouting malicious accusations. I remain confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
Church, it's great to be with you again this Sunday as we sit under God's word together. My name is Paul Dell. I'm the senior pastor here at church, and it's my honour and privilege of bringing God's word this morning. 2020 is our year of enjoying God. Our desire this year is that we have a deep dependence and delight in the Lord, that we experience him and we enjoy him. Over the last 2 weeks, some people have asked me whether we're going to change the theme for this year. And the answer is absolutely not. No, now is the time to depend on him and delight in him. Now is the time to enjoy him and to experience him. Today we're focusing on seeking the Lord in the time of fear. Seeking the Lord in the time of fear. I think fear is a great word to describe our world and society right now. People are living in fear, gripped by fear, paralyzed by fear. And there's financial fear. For some people, they're facing real financial hardship. Real people with bills to pay and mouths to feed, and they're praying, give us today our daily bread. We're living with relational fear as people no longer are able to meet with their family and with their friends. They are fearful of that lack of human connection. There's emotional fear. People living with those questions, concern for their mental well-being, feeling sad or lonely or anxious. There's the educational fear. I can relate to this as we seek to homeschool our children. Will our children miss out on their education? How will we as parents cope? There's living with the fear of the unknown. What will tomorrow bring? I'm out of control. I'm scared. But I think the big underlying fear is the fear of death. We are greatly concerned that this virus could indeed kill thousands of people. And many people are not ready to die. And they are fearful of death. Now, into that climate, a climate of fear, Psalm 27 speaks a soothing word for our souls. It calms our lurking fears. And in Psalm 27, we're told, do not fear, seek the Lord. Seek the Lord in this time of fear. Let me read verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. In whom shall I be afraid? David is saying, when you know the Lord, there is nothing to fear. Oh, come down to verse 4, an extraordinary, eloquent, powerful verse. One thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life and gaze on the beauty of the Lord and seek him in his temple. That's the one thing right now, to know God, to seek God, to delight in God, to enjoy God. Wang Mingdao was a man who sought the Lord in a time of fear. You might have heard of him. He's a Christian pastor in China, but he spent 23 years in jail for his faith. He's an inspiration to millions of Chinese Christians as he sought the Lord in that time of fear. An American pastor who really respected Wang Mingdao, he met him and he said, in all likelihood, I myself will never experience prison for my faith. So what can I learn from your experience? Let me read what Wang Mingdao said. When you go back home, how many books have you to read this coming month? How many letters to write, people to see, sermons to preach? This is my lesson for you. You need to build yourself a cell. When I was put in jail, I was devastated. I was an evangelist. I wanted to hold crusades over all of China. I was an author. I wanted to write books. I was a preacher. I wanted to study my Bible and write sermons. But I had no Bible. I had no pulpit, no audience, no pen, no paper. In my cell, I had nothing. And I could do nothing. Nothing, that is, except to really to get to know God better. To meditate on God, ponder God, and spend time with my God. And for 23 years, that was the greatest and most intimate relationship I've ever known. I was pushed into a cell so I could really know God intimately. So here's my advice. Push yourself into a cell. Simplify your life, so you have time to really know God. Stop looking around and rushing around trying to fix everything. Instead, fix your eyes on God. Spend time, deep time with your God. Meditate on him, delight in him, know him, and just seek him. And church, we need to hear that right now. Because all around us, our daily routines are being stripped away. Our normal tasks are no longer taking place. We're no longer meeting with the people we know and love. We're being pushed into a cell so that we can spend time with our God and meditate on him and seek him and know him. You've probably never heard of Wang Mingdao, but I assume you've heard of the great Jim Packer, J.I. Packer, the author of over 300 books, Knowing God, Evangelism and the Sovereignty of God. Well, Jim was a man who sought the Lord in the face of fear. For Jim, he was diagnosed with an eye condition called macular degeneration. He went blind. He couldn't read, couldn't write, couldn't preach. But he was not paralyzed by fear. Let me read what Jim Packer wrote. God knows what he's doing. I've had enough experiences of God's goodness in all sorts of ways not to have any doubt about the present circumstance. Some good, something for God's glory is going to come out of this. In positive terms already, it's quite simply the joy of spending more time with my God. When you walk with God in these moments, he gives you these special delights, a deep sense of peace and pleasure of being his child. I spent decades meditating on God's word, and those truths are rooted deeply in my heart and my mind. So at this moment, I'm looking forward to knowing my God better. Church, I really believe this is what you need to hear right now. In this moment, God is calling us to seek him, delight in him, depend on him, and just to know him. So 4 points from Psalm 27. Here's the first one. In this time of fear, Be safe and secure in your God. Be safe and secure in your God. David has this deep confidence, this deep conviction that God is his safe place. I love that. God is his safe place. David, the mighty warrior, the great king, the one who defeated Goliath, the one who killed a bear and a lion to defend his flock, the one who conquered armies, he doesn't depend on himself or his power or his strength. His dependence is on God and his safe place, his security, his stronghold. Look at verse 1 with me. It says this: "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" See those words, fear and afraid. Fear is terrible. But David's not talking about those irrational fears like the fear of spiders or dentists or flying. He's talking about real fears. He's being attacked. He's being oppressed. He says in verse 2, "The wicked advance against me, my enemies and my foes." Verse 3, "An army besieges me." Verse 3, "War breaks out against me." Hear that? Enemies, foes, armies and wars. This is a man in trouble, in crisis and under trial, but he does not fear. Why is that? Because he knows who God is. He says in verse 1, "The Lord is my light." The Lord, that is the word for Yahweh, the covenant God, the all-knowing, the all-caring, the all-compassionate God. The Lord is my light. In the Bible, light is used in a couple of ways. It's the brilliance of the sun, the warmth of that sun that exposes darkness and shines hope into a hollow world. But here David's talking about just this candle tea light. This little single wick candle that gives him enough light just for the next step. He's saying, "The Lord gives me enough light just not to fear in this next moment. The Lord is my light," he says. Ed Yorston sent me an email this week from his gym buddy called Don. And Don's in his 80s. I love that. Here's what Don said. "Ed and I discussed my memories of the dark days in which I lived during the war. The King's Christmas speech in 1939 ended with these words that inspired millions. As I said to the man who stood at the gate of the year, 'Give me a light that I might tread safely into the unknown.' But he replied, 'No, go out into the darkness and put your hand into the hand of God. That shall be to you better than light and safer than any known way.' Put your hand into the hand of God and he lightens your path and he rids you of your fears. The Lord is your light. You have no fear. The Lord is your salvation." See that verse 1? "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Of whom shall I be afraid?" I hope you know this, that the Lord is your Savior. He has saved you from your sins in the person of Jesus Christ. If you believe and trust in Jesus, you've been saved from the penalty of sin and from the power of sin. You have nothing to fear. If you're in Christ, you have victory over the world, the flesh and the devil. God is able to save. He's mighty to save. He's able to deliver you from anything and everything. And when you know God as your light and your salvation, it rids you of your fears. But more than that, look at verse 1 again. "The Lord is my stronghold," the stronghold of my life. That word for stronghold is like a bomb shelter. You ever seen those pictures of the bomb shelter in World War I or World War II? Those big concrete shelters bunkered underground, and the air raid sirens ring and there's chaos and panic all around, and the people calmly walk into that bunker, into that shelter, and in that shelter they're safe. In that shelter they are safe. Oh, the planes are still roaring overhead and bombs are still being dropped and buildings are still being destroyed, but they are safe. They are secure. And in that shelter, there is laughter and there's joking. And in that shelter, they're having a cup of tea and they're chatting and they're spending time with God because they are safe. And when the Lord is your shelter, your stronghold, no matter what is going on around you, you know that you are safe. That's what he says in verse 3. He says, my heart will not fear. And though war break out against me, even then I'll be confident. He said, because I know my God, he is my light, my salvation, my stronghold, there is nothing to fear. It's been said that in times of trial and when tragedy strikes, you either run from God or you run to God. You either run from God or to him. But when we know God is light, salvation and stronghold, there's nowhere else to run to. Let me read this poem from this amazing book, A Shelter in a Time of Storm by Paul Tripp. It's called Safe. I'm safe not because I have no trouble or because I never experienced danger. I'm safe not because people affirm me or my plans always work out. I'm safe not because I'm immune from disease or free from the potential for poverty. I'm safe because of the glorious mystery of grace. I'm safe because of the presence of boundless love. I'm safe because of divine mercy, divine wisdom, divine power, and divine grace. And when danger comes, as it will, I will whisper to my weakening heart, Emmanuel is your shelter. You're safe. Friends, in the time of fear, we are safe in God. Number two, in the time of fear, seek the Lord. In the time of fear, seek the Lord. I do love verse 4. It's a beautiful verse. David says this, one thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek. Now, what is he seeking? What is he asking for? He's not asking, get me out of here, protect me, provide for me. They are good things to ask for. He doesn't ask for that. What's the one thing he asks for? What does he want? What does he really, really want? Verse 4, I really want to dwell, he says, to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life and to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek God, to seek the Lord in his temple. That's his one thing. That's what he wants above everything else, just to be in the constant presence of God, to delight in God, to gaze at God's beauty, to have this intimate, deep relationship with his God. It's not wrong to ask for protection or provision or for wisdom or for good leadership or to be spared this virus. We must ask for those things. But the one thing, the essential thing, is that we would seek God and devour God and love God and commune with God. I love that word, beauty, in verse 4. See that? To gaze. To gaze on the beauty of the Lord. We don't often use that word beauty to describe God, do we? You know, as we see the beauty in a beautiful orchid or a rugged mountaintop experience or the majestic leopard or the stunning sunset, we see beauty or we hear beauty with melodious tunes, with beautiful music, or we feel beauty as the tender touch of a loved one. And David says, I want to see, feel, taste and touch the beauty of the Lord. I want to feast on his faithfulness. I want to devour his holiness. I want to experience his love. I want to marvel at his goodness and his grace and his mercy. I just want to know my God better. Now for David, to dwell in the house of the Lord, to enter the temple, it meant going to a place. It meant going to the tabernacle or the temple where he would see and experience the glory and the holiness of God. But we don't go to a temple. We don't go to a church. We don't go to a building. We don't go to a place. We go to a person. And that person is called Jesus Christ. I mean, John's Gospel, John chapter 1, verse 14 says this, the Word became flesh. So God left heaven and took on flesh. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling. He tabernacled amongst us. He templed amongst us. And we've seen his glory, the glory of the one and only, full of grace and full of truth. And so when we come to Jesus and seek Jesus, we come into the presence of our God. We dwell with him. We sit with him. We feast on him. We just need to get to know Jesus better. Remember Martha in the Gospels? Martha, who was so busy getting distracted, doing lots of stuff. Important stuff, good stuff, but not the essential stuff. What was the one thing that Martha was told to do? To sit at the feet of Jesus and just to listen, just to spend time with her God. And church, I do believe that that's what God is calling us to right now. He's stripping us of all the good things and all the distractions and all the busyness. He's stripping all those things away, and he's asking us and calling us just to sit and to spend time with our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, even in lockdown, you can spend time with Jesus. Even in isolation by yourselves, you can spend time with your Lord Jesus. And when we feast on him and meditate on him and delight on him, then it gets rid of all our fears. So friends, can I encourage you not to binge on Netflix, not to spend endless hours on YouTube, not to spend endless hours watching news updates, but to spend endless hours with your God, with his word open. I would love it if at the end of this season that our church was full of stories of people who had encountered God in new and deep and intimate ways. People saying, I discovered this about God, or my relationship with God is so much deeper now. It's so much more experiential now. I just love him. I just devour him. I just want to spend time with him. It reminds me of the great Jonathan Edwards. Have you ever heard of him? He is one of the Puritan preachers who wrote a book called Religious Affections. And he uses language which in Anglican circles are quite unusual, but they're right and they're good and they're wonderful. Let me read a bit. The first instance that I remembered of that sort of inward sweet delight in my God was when reading 1 Timothy 1 verse 17, now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God be honour and glory. As I read these words, they came into my soul and was, as it were, diffused through it a sense of the glory of his divine being, a new sense, quite different from any I've ever experienced. Never any words of Scripture seemed to me as these words did. How happy if I might enjoy that God and, as it were, be swallowed up in him forever. And I began to have a new kind of idea of Christ and the work of redemption, this inward sweet sense of these things. And there came into my heart and my soul these pleasant views and contemplations of God. A sweet burning in my heart and an ardour of soul. That's what I long for church, that we'd enjoy God in new, intimate ways in this season. And when we do, friends, when we do that, we're able to say verses 5 and 6. Verse 5, for in the day of trouble, when the tough times come, God will keep me safe. God will hide me. And God will set me high upon a rock. Then my heart will be exalted and above the enemies who surround me. At his sacred tent, I will sacrifice with shouts of joy and I will sing and make music to the Lord. Do you see the right response when you've sought the Lord? When you spent time with your God, the right response is sacrifice and singing. Sacrifice and singing. Now, we're not told to make a sacrifice at the altar in the temple. Jesus is the once-for-all perfect sufficient sacrifice. He's done it all. But we are called to sacrifice ourselves, to give ourselves as a living sacrifice. Now, here I am, Lord. I love you. I want to serve you. And we're called to sing. Now, when you sought the Lord and encountered the Lord like this, your heart is full of praise and adoration, and you want to sing. Sing and make music to the Lord. Like at a concert or a sporting game where you're going, yes! When you've met the Lord, you want to shout for joy. Oh, praise the name of the Lord our God. Or sing, how great thou art. Or sing, great is your faithfulness. Just shout songs of joy. That is a sign, my friends, that you have had this personal encounter and you've sought the Lord. And when you do that, your heart and your minds are filled with wonderful truths about him. And it rids you of your fear. So in the time of fear, be safe in him, seek him. And in the time of fear, number three, plead with him. Plead with the Lord. Beg, pray, get on your knees, talk to your God. I love how realistic the Bible is. David is a human being. He's not a robot. And so David knows these truths about God and he knows what he should do. But it seems like another wave of fears come washing over him. The crisis is all around him. The threats are looming and the voice of the fear of the world is louder than the voice of God. And so he's anxious again. Verse 1 says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? So bold, so confident. But down in verse 7, he's pleading, he's begging, he's praying. He says this, hear my voice when I call, Lord. Be merciful to me and answer me. Verse 9, don't hide your face from me. Don't turn your servant away in anger. Verse 9, don't reject me or forsake me. See the urgency there? Someone said that you can shut the door on fear, but fear has this habit of climbing in the window again. That's what's happening here. David is feeling anxious again, and so he's calling out to God. He's pleading with God. And let me ask you, why should God bother to answer our prayers? Well, when we talk to him, when we ask him to hear, why should he bother? Why should the God of this universe listen to us? It's not because we are good or religious or our words are so persuasive. The answer is because of that one word in verse 7, the word mercy. God hears us because he's merciful. In the person of our Lord Jesus Christ, there's no barrier between us and God. We can talk to him anytime, any place. Now, we can approach the throne of grace with confidence to find help in our time of need because of the mercy of Jesus. Because of the mercy of Jesus, we can have a real rich relationship with our Heavenly Father. We can tell him anything and everything. Talk to him anytime, any place. A lady once asked her pastor, should I pray to God about everything or just the big things in my life? And the pastor said this. He said, madam, think about this. Is anything big in God's eyes? Saying God is so massive and so enormous that even your biggest problem is not big to him. So talk to him about everything, the small things and the big things. Now, what is it that David is asking for? I sound like a bit like a broken record, but verse 8. He says this, my heart says of you, seek his face. Your face, Lord, I will seek. He says, I just want to know more of you, God. So when David prays, he doesn't just ask for answers or solutions or for a shopping list. He just wants to know God and know more of God. He pleads in verse 9, please, that's the sense here, please, God, don't hide your face from me. Don't turn your back on me. Don't be angry, he says. Don't turn your servant away in anger. You have been my helper. He's saying, God, I know that my sins are against me, but in your eyes I am washed, I am clean. So please listen, please help. He says in verse 9, don't reject me or forsake me, because he says verse 10, my father and mother have forsaken me, but the Lord won't forsake me. He'll never leave me. He'll never forsake me. The Lord is always there. See, David is pleading to a God who he knows. He's his helper, his provider, his protector, and he can talk to God about anything and everything. Here's a great prayer to pray. Lord, once more draw my heart to you. Capture my thoughts, command my desires, submit my will, direct my plans, and make my heart pure. And when my heart finds life in you, it will no longer seek it in other things. Lord, draw me ever closer to you. Or you might just say, Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. You're my one defense and my righteousness. Oh, Lord, how I need you. That was David, a great man of prayer who pleaded with God in times of fear. Not just for God's presence, but for God's path. I'll look again down to verse 11. He prays, teach me your way, Lord. Lead me in a straight path. Teach me your ways, your directions, and keep me on that straight, righteous path. To be honest, my prayers often sound like this. Lord, rubber stamp my plans. Lead me on the path that I have chosen. And if I don't like the path I'm on, please take me off it. That's not what David prays. He says, teach me your ways. Lord, I want to sit at your feet and listen as I pray. I want to learn from you, God, because I'm your student. I feel like I've been homeschooled by God. So as I pray, just teach me what is the right way to respond to this. In this moment of fear, teach me courage, patience, compassion, kindness, gentleness. Lord, shape me, mold me to be more like Christ. And lead me in the straight path. And so often our lives don't seem straight, do they? They seem full of twists and turns. But the reality is they're often full of twists and turns because we deviate from the right path. We deviate from God's ways. We make stupid choices. And David is just praying here, Lord, in this moment, teach me and lead me. I just want to live your way, God. So I want to ask you again, how's your prayer life? It was Robert Moe McShane who said, a man is what he is on his knees before God and nothing more. A man is what he is on his knees before God and nothing more. So your prayer life is like a window into your soul. It will show us whether we really are communing with God and delighting in God and enjoying him. Those hours you spend talking to him, pleading with him and begging to him, it will just increase your intimacy with him. So in times of fear, be safe in the Lord, seek the Lord, plead with the Lord. And then lastly this morning, number four, wait for the Lord. Wait for the Lord. That's what God is calling us to do right now, to wait. To wait on him and to wait for him. He's in control, not us. His timings are perfect, not ours. And we're called to wait. I look at verse 13. I remain confident of this. Or literally that verse says, I would have despaired unless I believed this. I would have despaired unless I believed this, that I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I will see. That's the confidence. I will see God's goodness in this. I will see God's goodness through this. As Jim Packer says, God has been good in every season of life and he'll continue to be good. And again, church, I do believe in this moment we'll see great goodness happen, great good things from God. We're going to see people showing greater kindness towards each other, people caring for each other, the precious moments we get to spend with our loved ones, the time we spend with God. We're going to see God remind us of what a privilege it is to meet as God's people and to gather as church. We're going to see what's important in life, what we value in life. They're good things that God is going to teach us now in a land of the living. But for the moment, he calls us to wait. Verse 14, wait for the Lord. Be strong, take heart. Be strong and courageous. And wait. Wait for the Lord. Now, I'm not very good at waiting. I suck at waiting. If you watch me in a doctor's waiting room, my appointment's at 10 o'clock, and by 10 past 10, I'm grumbling, I'm whinging, I'm impatient, I'm looking at my phone, I'm keeping myself busy, and as I wait, I have to be doing something. Scrolling through social media, or responding to emails, or checking my phone, whatever it is. But as we wait on the Lord, we're not called just to be busy and get distracted. As we wait for the Lord, we're called to wait on Him and spend time with Him. That moment of silence, waiting on Him, saying, God, what are you doing here? What are you teaching me here? I love this quote. Waiting is not just about what you are hoping for at the end of the wait. It's about what you will become as you wait. It's about what you will become as you wait. And as we wait, God is going to change us and mold us and shape us and refine us individually and as a church family. As we wait on the Lord, we're expecting to see change. It's almost like we need to say, Lord, I know that every day ordained for me has been written in your book before one of them came to be. And God, I really hope there's lots more good chapters ahead of me. And God willing, there be days of great blessing and not just burdens, and days of great triumph, not just tragedy. But Lord, I'm waiting on you, because your timing is always perfect and you know what you're doing. And I found in my life there's moments of waiting are the moments where God has changed me the most. We don't know how this crisis is going to unfold. We don't know when it will end. But we know the God who's in control of it all. And so we wait on Him. And as we wait, we expect Him to do great and marvelous things. So friends, we are living in a time of fear. Many people gripped by fear, paralyzed by fear. And in that fear, be safe in the Lord, seek the Lord, plead with the Lord, and wait for the Lord. But let me end with this one word of encouragement. There's one command in the Bible that's repeated more than any other command. It comes 365 times in the Bible. That's one for every day of the year. And this is a command. This is God's word for us. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Do not fear. Church, let's not be afraid. As everything changes around us, we don't live in fear. We're safe in the arms of the Lord. Let's seek His face. Let's plead with Him and let's wait on Him. And let's see what God does in and through us and through our church. Let me pray. Father, we do wait on you now, asking your Spirit would do a mighty work in us. Lord, I pray that you would give us those precious moments where we seek your face, we sit at the feet of our Lord Jesus and we listen. Lord, I pray that we might gaze on his beauty, we might see his holiness, ponder his power, marvelous his goodness. Lord, fill our hearts and our minds with glorious truths about our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray that we would actually seek you and find you, that we'd be captivated by you, and that we'd enjoy you. And Lord, please rid us of any lurking fears. And we ask that for Jesus' sake. Amen.